This is Marketplace. I'm Kai Rizdal. A story now about economic cause and effect in the form of oysters on the half shell. They've always been symbols of the culinary good life, oysters have. Exotic, primal, maybe even a little bit naughty, if you believe that old wives' tale. But over the past decade or so, getting them on your plate has become more challenging. Carbon emissions and global warming are changing the oceans in ways that baby oysters can't handle. So scientists and shellfish farmers are looking for a fix. Oregon Public Broadcasting's Jess Burns explains.
The tide flat on Hood Canal is only exposed for a few hours a day. So tide is money at Baywater Shellfish Farm west of Seattle. Manager Caleb Davis flips and sorts through bags of shellfish.
This is a good-looking oyster for you, a nice deep cup. Ideally, this will be sitting on a platter in a restaurant ASAP.
Caleb's father, Joth Davis, founded Baywater back in the 90s. They farm clams, gooey duck, and oysters. His business is part of the Pacific Northwest's $200 million shellfish industry. But the industry is in trouble.
It's just more difficult to raise oyster larvae these days.
That's because ocean chemistry is changing. The ocean absorbs more than a quarter of the carbon dioxide we pump into the air. And all that carbon is making seawater more acidic and making it more and more difficult for oysters to grow. But what if there was a way to pull some of that carbon out of the water? Brian Allen is up to his elbows in the cold black water of Hood Canal. The Puget Sound Restoration Fund researcher is hanging over the side of a small boat trying to pull in a tangle of ropes.
Oh, yeah, Daddy.
Below the surface, there's an unseen garden of yellow kelp growing on 60-foot lines. Allen untangles one and hooks it onto a winch. He starts cranking the kelp to the surface, marveling at the plant he pulls in.
I use the term plant loosely.
Got it.
They are not plants. They're protists related to slime molds and amoebas.
But like trees and bushes, kelp makes energy through photosynthesis. Carbon dioxide in, oxygen out. And that's why this project could be important in combating ocean acidification. Remember, that's caused when there's too much carbon in the water. Allen's colleague, Betsy Peabody, helped organize this study to see just how much carbon the kelp can take up or sequester.
So you could create, in theory, a kind of seaweed filter, you know, curtain around where you're growing shellfish, so that as water is circulating through that system, seaweed is pulling CO2 out of the water.
Baywater Shellfish's Joth Davis is working with the scientists on the kelp project. He sees a dual economic potential in growing kelp and oysters together.
I'm looking at interspersing shellfish in cages hanging below buoys, and then every other line would be kelp. Between the two of them, we'll be able to harvest both kelp for food and shellfish.
The project is now entering its second year. Davis says the plan is to move beyond the science and try harvesting the kelp in late spring. Even though harnessing the carbon-sucking powers of kelp and other aquatic plants like seagrass is showing promise for the shellfish industry, there's only so much the plants can do. And Davis says ocean conditions are going to get worse as we continue pumping carbon into the atmosphere.
I think in 10 years, 20 years, 50 years from now, there will be some very serious issues.
And it won't just be the shellfish industry that suffers. These changes in ocean chemistry could soon become problems for crab, shrimp, and even salmon. On the Hood Canal in Washington, I'm Jess Burns for Marketplace.